A very good morning. On behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 for Talmud. Special thanks to our host, Young Israel of Cherry Hill. Psachim Daf Vav Amad Aleph, 6A, pagination, page 11, starting from the second wide line. The case of the Gemara over here is what to do if there's chametz in your house on Pesach, and the Gemara presents two possibilities. One is a person who finds chametz in his house, total accident. A second case is, what do you do if a non-Jew has chametz in your house on Pesach, purposefully, the way we do it? This has a lot of practical application. You could have a person, first case, where they discover an overlooked granola bar, for example, during Pesach, or a half-eaten sandwich that someone wedged underneath the couch. A second case would be the chametz that we owned before Pesach and we sold to the non-Jews, so it's the non-Jews' chametz in our house. It's exact application. What kind of separation is required? What do you need to do if you find chametz during Pesach? So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said in the name of Rav, Hamotze chametz beveso biyamtif. A person finds chametz in his house on yamtif, meaning on the first day of Pesach, not on Chol HaMoed. We know what you would do on Chol HaMoed. Presumably, let's keep it simple, you would burn it if it was Chol HaMoed. We'll have to get to our cases nowadays where it might be included in the sale to the non-Jew. Unwittingly, you sold it to the non-Jew. So whether you're supposed to burn it or not is a separate discussion. But working straight with simple Gemara presentation, you're finding chametz in your house on Yom Tif. Had it been Chol HaMoed, you would burn it, but right now it's Yom Tif, and because it's Muktza, and according to some, because you're not allowed to burn on Yom Tif if it's not a Yom Tif need, so the solution is Kofer Olav Es HaKli. You cover it with a vessel. That's not a very good solution because someone might pick up the vessel and use it to cook something with it, but it's a solution right now. It's a solution. You cover it so that no one eats it, and presumably it's a big fuss because they see that you took this big tureen and placed it in the middle of the playroom where you found the thing, whatever it is. People aren't going to eat it. So that's the solution right now for a person who finds chametz in his house on Yom Tif. Chol HaMoed, you would burn it. Amar Rava, Rava says, Im shel hektish hu, if it's from hektish, from stuff that's holy, belongs to the Beis HaMikdash, it's holy food, eino tzarech, you don't have to do anything. My time, why not? Mivdel bedili mine, he says a phenomenal principle. Because anyway, we're trained that if something is hektish, you don't eat it. So even though this food looks like that food, and how would anybody know the difference? But we are trained that if something is hektish, it's hands off. So if you had chametz of hektish, you wouldn't have to do anything, according to Rava. Now, I found this very thought-provoking, because even though this sounds very far-fetched, we don't have Beis HaMikdash nowadays, what would be the case of hektish in practical halacha? But what happens if a person has non-kosher food in his home? Either because he stores non-kosher food for fishing, and it's chametz, or he stores non-kosher food for workers of his that are not Jewish, as long as it's not basa b'chalav, mixture of milk and meat. But it's possible to be owning non-kosher food. There's certain types of energy bars a person might own, and it's intended for his non-Jewish worker. So all year, your hands off of such a thing. It doesn't have a hechsher. People are trained. You don't touch the shrimp that's intended for fishing. So you don't touch the leavened products that are intended for what... Would we be able to apply this principle of Rava, that by hektish, mivdo bedili minei, it's hands off all year, and perhaps you might not have to do anything at all, because anyway, we wouldn't eat it, and the whole purpose of covering it with the vessel was so that you shouldn't eat it. We wouldn't eat this anyway. And then we just have to know what you're supposed to do on Chol HaMoed, because the fact is, you're owning chametz on Pesach, so as soon as first day Yom Tov, perhaps by our second day Yom Tov as well, but at a certain point, what are you supposed to do? That would kick in once it's Chol HaMoed. The Gemara continues, Va'omer Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, and Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav, Chemtzo Shal Nochri, if you have the chametz of a non-Jew. It's clearly the non-Jew owns it, you didn't take responsibility for it. It's his. But the fact is, it's in your house. So the rule is, Osala Mechitza Asara Tfachim, you have to make a barrier, a mechitza, a separation, that's 10 tfachim high, Mishum Heker, to make it noticeable that it's off limits. And again, Vim Shal Hektishu and Etzarach Maitam Mivdo Badili in Sheminei, had it been Hektish, you wouldn't have to do this, but our regular Chametz, as I said, let's stick with kosher chametz so that it's very clear. You would have to make a mechitza of 10 tefachim, but there's an interesting word here being used, mishum heker, as a separation, to make it noticeable. And what I wondered when I first saw this Gemara was, is there some leniency in the type of mechitza that you have to build? Because this mechitza is not like an Erev Mechitza, to demarcate between Rishus HaYalchid and Rishus HaRabim. This Mechitza is different. It's Mishum Heker. It's a separation to be noticed. Is it somehow more lenient? For example, here in Shul, we have a Mechitza between men and women. The Mechitza that we have between men and women would not be kosher for a Sukkah, because it's not tied down on the bottom. And a sukkah has to be able to withstand reasonable wind. So it works mishum heker, it works as a separation between men and women, but it wouldn't work if you were trying to build an eruv and using that as a wall or a sukkah. It's not enough. So I was thinking that perhaps one of these curtains might be enough to separate your chametz, your non-Jewish owned chametz, because the Gemara says, Mishum Heker. It just has to be a separation that's noticed. I then saw that the Mishnah Berurah says that such a mechitza would not be good enough, because a person could easily go underneath. And it's not enough of a heker, it's not enough of a separation. However, I still think there is a difference between what's required for a sukkah and what's required over here, because the Gemara does say Mishum Heker, and the Mishnah Berurah mentions that if you would tie it down on the bottom, it would be enough of a mechitza, which reminds us of the famous debate about canvas sukkah. How tight does the wall have to be to constitute a wall for sukkah? And presumably, even if you were strict by sukkah and you didn't want to use a canvas wall unless it was tied down extremely well, presumably by a wall for the purposes of chametz, it doesn't have to be that it wouldn't flap in a regular wind, because there is no wind inside your house. It's not like a sukkah that you're building that has to be able to withstand the normal wind had it been outside. This just has to stop you, mishum heker. And presumably, as long as it's tied down, as long as it's firm, it would be enough. As a practical matter, most people purposely put that chametz into a cabinet and seal the cabinet, because we're looking for a mechitza. Whereas if you're dealing with dish pans, etc., so there's no real chametz there, and that you could be more lenient and just cover it, drape it over or something. There's no real chametz there. It's just we don't want to purposely use it. Even if you used it, it's not clear what it would do to anything. It's used cold, it's used dry, whatever. It's not clear anything would happen. But the real chametz should definitely be put away. One final thought regarding the question that we raised. If you found chametz on Pesach after you did a global mechira to the non-Jew, what should you do with it? Because ultimately it does belong to the non-Jew. So the approach that many people use is that if it has marketable value, easy marketable value, is a granola bar, you found it under the couch, so then it's the guy's. It's his. He bought it. You have no business doing anything to it other than putting it into the cabinet where you're storing his chametz. It's his. Whereas if it's something that doesn't really have marketable value, it's a half-eaten sandwich, then presumably we should do what the Gemara describes as burning it, even though ultimately it is the guy's, but the guy's really not interested in it, and you wouldn't be stealing from him because he's fine if you end up burning it. But you could see just from the way the question has to be navigated that it's a touchy question which has to be assessed. What's the most proper approach to use now that we do a global mechira where the guy buys everything with generosity? Yeshe koach, have a great day.